Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Reins and Edge, a libertarian-leaning progressive, a conservative-leaning libertarian. Will they agree on anything? I don't know. But I'm Henry Reins.
And I'm Mark Edge.
And we are who we are.
That's right.
I guess
I'm the conservative-leaning libertarian, I guess.
Oh, I'm the libertarian-leaning progressive?
I think that that's a fair assessment of you, yes.
I think the conspiracy is you're trying to progressively turn me into a libertarian.
I wouldn't do that.
Because the whole premise
of the show doesn't work.
And I'm not trying to turn you more conservative or more libertarian. Well, what's going on this week?
But, Henry, you and I have known each other for, I mean, many, many decades. I worked for you.
30s, I think.
Oh, I was just saying that we've known each other for many, many years. I started working for you at your comic book store in the mid-80s, maybe even early 80s. I'd have to do the math. 1983 would be my guess. And,
That's when the Reins store opened, so you probably stumbled upon it in 1983, I would think. Back then, when you could buy comic books for under a dollar.
Yeah, it was, I think, 60 cents for a comic at that time. Everybody seems to remember how much the first comic they bought was. You know, hello to you out there, 12 cents. I remember that the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man and all those.
But the first one I bought was a 25-cent double-sized Yogi Bear. Not the Yogi Bear of the baseball player, but...
No.
Yeah. Yali Stone.
Yeah, just the cartoon ones. And that, like, when people think of comics, because Marvel's been so successful with its movies and that sort of thing, in many cases, they just think of, you know, Captain America, Iron Man, maybe Superman, Batman, these kind of things. But comics have been so much more. They were just like Yogi Bear, like a comic strip or a comic book. They were romance, horror, westerns, you know, so many things were sold throughout the years. But in the last several decades, it's been dominated by superheroes.
That's right. Well, I tended to go a little bit more realistic after Yogi Bear, moving on to Dennis the Menace. Dennis the Menace was very educational back then. Remember, this is like the mid-60s, and Dennis would go places like Pearl Harbor with his dad and other places around the country, especially in the summer vacation series stuff that would come out. Mark, we're getting sidetracked here, but we were talking about the inflation of comic book prices. Latest inflation numbers were out this week, and inflation is moderating, but it's actually deflating in China. They also reported a double-digit plunge in July exports and imports. We're going to make all that make sense to you in the next segment. And the White House restricted U.S. investment in Chinese firms, citing a national emergency. You probably weren't even aware of the national emergency, Mark, but Joe Biden was, and he just this week announced an executive order that basically is going to keep an eye on all those capitalists in America that want to do business with China, thinking back with Lenin back in the Russian Revolution saying that capitalists would sell the rope to hang them with. And that may be true, maybe be an accurate quote. And that leads to the question, are Bidenomics gaining traction? But we're going to put all that aside. We're going to put that aside because first, we have to deal with important things like comic books and professional wrestling. Not sports entertainment on my side of the microphone. Professional wrestling. But if we were talking sports entertainment, we'd be talking about Vince McMahon. And I think you brought this to my attention.
Yeah, Vince McMahon's a big deal. And
you just ask him, he'll tell you he's a big deal.
Well, you know, that's the thing is if you make a big deal, enough of a big deal about yourself, you're a big deal.
Right. Well, and we don't even have this up as the lead of the story, but just to give a quick summary here, in the first paragraph, what I'm actually going to say was a really big deal was the really big deal that happened just about a month ago. But former World Wrestling Entertainment CEO and majority shareholder Vince McMahon was recently served with a search warrant and subpoena issued by a federal grand jury. The news was released by WWE as part of a quarterly report to the Securities and Exchange Commission. And, you know, I have to interject here, whoever I'm pulling this off of Jacksonville television station's news copy. The quarterly report was their quarterly earnings report, which every publicly traded company does in the United States of America. Anyway, the quarterly report to the Securities and Exchange Commission, they're doing well, by the way, thank you. They are making money. And
I don't know that they ever weren't.
No, yeah, back in the 90s they had some time. I've heard stories about when Vince had the water coolers removed from Titan Towers. Because you had to cut back, and rather than cut back on some things, he was taking the water coolers away, and you could just bring your own water.
And sharp skin suits, he would he'd cut down on the water coolers. Okay.
The warrant was apparently served on July 17th. It appears at this point the subpoena is related to a past investigation into whether he paid hush money to employees following allegations of sexual misconduct. I should have edited this for this news service. It appears at this point, they've already admitted that he did pay this months ago when he stepped away from the company about a year ago that he had paid hush money, or maybe the polite word would be a settlement money. Can't be hush. Actually, in a way, it was hush money because they had non-disclosure agreements about it.
Right. That's hush money. Yep.
Hush money, non-disclosure. Anyway,
is he married? That's the first question that comes to mind.
Well, you know, Mark, marriage is a funny thing.
So, yes.
We'll talk about that in a second here. McMahon retired from the company following that scandal. Now, that would I say it appeared, I would have put in that sentence, it appeared that he had retired from the company. But in recent months, he returned to the WWE to help facilitate a merger with UFC parent company Endeavor to form the new company that is going to have the UFC, all the events and pay-per-views that generates, and the WWE with all the television revenue and all the Peacock revenues and royalties and all the other money they streams they have coming around from around the world, including their big budget shows in Saudi Arabia now that Saudi Arabia just cuts the big check and the WWE doesn't even have to worry about the place being filled up. They just fly their people in, and most of the time they can just fly their people out, although there's been a situation or two where Saudi Arabia went, not so fast. And the other important thing that was left out of this is when he came back, he had totally changed his look, shoe polish blacked his hair from gray, got a pencil thin mustache, and was mistaken for Snidely Whiplash, which we've discussed.
You know, I saw pictures of him with his new look, and nobody have I ever thought in my life had more of a new look than Vince McMahon has now. I mean, Vince McMahon, in my mind, looks like a thing, and this new guy, it looks like an entirely different person.
Vince McMahon looks like a thing or the thing?
Well, Vince McMahon looks like Vince McMahon, right? Like, I think that so many people have this
look.
Yeah, he just, you know, I mean, I draw up a picture of him, and the person he looks like now simply doesn't look the same. Now, I've seen some pictures of the evolution of Vince McMahon, and I believe the new pictures, but the new pictures, when, you know, just viewed in my mind's eye against the old picture, is just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. He doesn't look like him.
Vince McMahon in the past, I mean, he's in his mid-70s now.
Right.
He wrestled two WrestleManias ago against Steve Austin, and it was a little bit embarrassing, but it was embarrassing for Vince McMahon because people can remember some of the performances he put on in the ring, which were always surprising because he really wasn't a professional wrestler, but he overperformed expectations in those matches on the pay-per-views. And but I would say for a 73-4-year-old, he exceeded probably every other 73 or 74-year-old that we could pull off the street and throw him in a wrestling
ring
with Steve Austin. But
yeah, he's in good shape. And I, you know, it's easy to sit here at 52 and be dashingly good-looking and be against plastic surgery. But, you know, I mean, all surgeries have risk, I guess is what all I would say to it. I'm just surprised by how much the transformation, or how much of a transformation there is.
And he seems such a, like a humble man. no vanity whatsoever.
No, he's vain. There's no doubt. But that's part of the whole thing. I mean, he's willing to bill himself as a heel or a bad guy. So I think that in and of itself just shows that you don't take yourself too seriously. What truly vain individual would be willing to be a bad guy? And I don't know.
Well, a truly vain person might get in trouble with the SEC for having alleged sexual harassment of employees, alleged using a publicly traded company to provide a source of income for your mistress, for passing that mistress off to another employee when you got tired of her.
Oh my.
Or, you know, just wanted to see her blossom into a better career, perhaps.
Right.
John Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace, was the executive that... Let me back this up, because we haven't really laid the foundation here for our audience. We just assume that everybody knows important news stories, like who is McMahon sleeping with, and what is
I certainly
compensation that woman would get for that. So first of all,
let's hope it's good and high.
I think the total hush money paid, if I may use that term, was around $20 million over multiple people. One was a former female referee. That would go back probably into the 90s, where that woman first alleged the issues, and that was settled. Then there was some female wrestler, I believe, and I assume the other individuals were female, but I don't know that, and I'm not...
Well, I can only presume.
Well, I'm not even saying that every settlement of the, because there was a number of people, like about four, I think, that settled.
Prosecution is willing to stipulate. Yeah.
But one that, you know, there's always that one that upsets the apple cart and everybody notices. And that was the most recent one, who was employed as a paralegal at WWE. This individual, female, met Vince McMahon at the condo complex they shared. Now, you might think Vince McMahon would have a mansion somewhere.
Yeah,
and
sure.
He does. And if you were to have a wife, they might be in that mansion.
Yeah.
McMahon does have a wife, Linda McMahon, who was the head of the Small Business Administration under President Trump.
I kind of remember that. Yeah,
way back, he's a financial supporter of the presidential campaign and Donald Trump in general. They had business relationships, I believe, back in Trump Towers, where some of the, or maybe it was Atlantic City, some of the Trump properties hosted WrestleMania, one of them. But anyway, this paralegal was employed And I don't know what the going rate for a paralegal is in Stamford, Connecticut, but I would think $100,000 was a pretty generous starting salary, which is the number that came out in the, when this first hit the fan. But she must have done extremely good work because she was a raise to $200,000 a year.
Okay.
And somewhere along that timeline of employment, she left the service of Vince McMahon at WWE and then became available for employee tasks at for John Laurinaitis, who was the head of talent relations. And, you know, other talk show hosts would see those descriptions and take all kinds of liberties with innuendo and suggestive talk. But here we're above that.
Because I speak for yourself.
I know the listeners of Reigns and Edge, courtesy of the Free Talk Live Network, can fill in the blanks for themselves probably better than we can. So, what is the point? Sure, Mark, you can bring this tawdry story of passion, misplaced desires, misplaced power, but what is the real lesson here for our listeners?
I think if you purchase stock in an entertainment company that is already somewhat seedy, you can expect some seedy behavior. And that the FCC ought to butt out. I mean, really, ultimately, this is mild compared to what I might have imagined.
Well, the $20 million of funds.
$20 million
I wonder
real money.
What the gist of the issue is. You could raise the issue that the funds of the corporation were misused and mishandled. But
yep,
I believe he has paid the company back, and or at least alleges that the company is paid back. And really, yeah. $20 million, or even if it's $30 million, if it's a bigger number than what when last time I checked was, you know, for a multi-billion-dollar revenue company, that's really the kind of money that he'd probably find under the cushions at Vince McMahon's office there. That might have fallen out of someone that was reclining on the couch. So,
and it's probably worth pointing out that whatever the investigation is probably going to run into seven or eight figures too. I mean, if I guess I have a difficult time finding the crime, I don't have a difficult time finding the you know, the tawdry and scandalous behavior.
If there's a class action lawsuit by shareholders, though, you're going to raise your hand to the SEC and say, come investigate us. I mean, not liberally. It's just like, metaphorically, it's like saying, come here and investigate us.
Sure. The shareholders have every right to file a lawsuit against WWE if that's what they want to do. As far as I'm concerned, their investigation should not be funded by the U.S. taxpayer, which is presumably what's going on when the SEC pops its little head in. You know, that's their business. When you bought WWE stock, you said, I'll investigate these crooks myself. Thanks.
No, you didn't.
You should have.
Why?
Because, you
what
know...
What resources do you have compared to the SEC to investigate the wrongdoing once the wrongdoing has been established?
If it's class action, then I have a class of people who have the resources to go ahead and do this.
Actually,
the shareholders...
So the SEC is the law enforcement for the securities that are being traded.
Indeed, they are. I think that they, you know, that's they're a regulatory body, and I just don't see an allegation here that rises to the level of the SEC. Then again, I have seen few allegations that make me think the SEC, which is, to the best I can tell, an unconstitutional agency. If it's not mentioned in the Constitution, it's unconstitutional. So,
where
you know, what's
that decision from?
I would call it the Tenth Amendment is where I got it from. When it says anything not specifically mentioned in this document should be remanded to the states and the people.
What about the part where we have a legislative branch that creates laws that can be enforced in the country?
That's the argument, but to me, I think that it falls into that the Supreme Court should call it unconstitutional because it isn't part explicitly mentioned of the Constitution. Has America grown from the time the Constitution was written? Sure. But the SEC? Would we be that much worse off with this without this regulatory body?
Actually, yeah. I mean, there's a history of being worse off than that.
There is. And hopefully one learns from mistakes.
Well, the whole thing that your whole premise there that individuals, we have the whole period before the Great Depression and into the 1800s where people were ripped off by shady operators that
sure.
were going and getting investment. The Blue Sky Laws, for example, that were people were promised ridiculous returns and with no way to check that. We didn't have an internet back in the 1800s, and yet these people could.
So with the internet, we don't need the SEC?
Life savings?
So with the internet, we don't need the SEC? I'll stipulate. No, what I would say is that the NASDAQ and the NYSE, these organizations should be regulating their own people that are listed. I just think that it sounds a lot like, here's the problem. Here's the impropriety. What if the SEC is run by a Democrat?
It has been. Joe Kennedy was a heck of a head of the SEC.
And what if Vince McMahon, whose wife was part of the Trump administration, is considered by these Democrats to be a bad guy? And what if that enforcement tool is used to go after Republicans? And what if the tables are turned, right? Like, what if it's Democrat, Republican head of the SEC who's going after Democrats? Because
I will answer your question. Let me just also point out that the improprieties have already been announced by the company itself.
And acknowledged.
So.
I just don't think that it's a real impropriety.
The SEC was used as a vindictive body against Republicans by a Democratic administration?
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa.
Do we want that?
No, nobody wants that.
No.
It looks like it. You don't have an SEC.
I think that if the SEC has a job, it ought to be not trying to drown every cryptocurrency that their friends don't hold. The SEC looks like a corrupt organization to me. And I think that they're just poking their nose in business they don't need to be. And it looks like they're going after Republicans for the sake of going after
Republicans. To rein to edge on the Retalk Live Network.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Reaction continuing to come in as Attorney General Merrick Garland is appointing U.S. Attorney David Weiss as special counsel in the investigation of Hunter Biden. House Ways and Means Committee Chairman, Republican from Missouri, Jason Smith, is skeptical of Weiss on Fox News.
I mean, Mr. Weiss is the single architect over that sweetheart plea agreement deal that the judge in Delaware threw out just a few weeks ago.
The number of illegal immigrants in Border Patrol facilities has more than doubled roughly 3 months after Title 42, the Trump-era expulsion policy, ended. The latest custody data shows that the two sectors along the U.S.-Mexico border have exceeded their holding capacities. President Biden once again spending the weekend at his Delaware beach house. Tim Berg, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back to Reins and Edge, where we just had a tense discussion about the importance of the SEC, Vince McMahon's pencil thin mustache, the going rate for a paralegal providing extra services in Stamford, Connecticut, and much, much more. But, Mark, remind the audience the point you were making.
Well, I think my point is part of a larger point is that my bias is against federal government regulation. My bias is against the SEC. My bias is against fishing trips, looking for, you know, maybe something's been done here that's illegal. And so I guess basically I'm questioning whether the SEC should even be exist. I think it's too easily abused as a cudgel against whoever is politically disenfranchised at this time.
All right. But well said there, expressing your point of view. And actually, since hopefully this show will continue in the weeks to come, I am not going to try and move you off your petard there this show, because we've got lots of other things to cover. But you did make me think of just sort of this general conflict and struggle between, you know, the libertarianisms and I don't even want to say progressivism, because even outside of the libertarian philosophy, even conservatives want some kind of government, and they, especially the kind of government that gives them what they want.
And the best terms I can come up with both sound pejorative, but I'm going to give them to you, and you can decide what you think about them. There's the term authoritarian, which certainly sounds pejorative, right? Like, nobody wants to be part of an authoritarian or an advocate for authoritarian governments, but there are certainly people that think that, the government is the best person, best organization to decide how any given problem is solved. And then there are the other term is statist, which is somebody whose bias is towards an organization that would claim a monopoly privilege on the use of violence in a given landmass. Like the term state is a term that was, say, as late as the early 1800s, is used very often to describe a government. A state and a government were kind of the same, synonymous. Whereas now, because the United States is the most important country in the world, it kind of means one of the 50 states, but those should mean the, supreme law of the land in their area too, but they don't. Because, as Jefferson said, it is the nature of government to grow, and the federal government has grown very powerful over time. It was just supposed to be weights and measures and like the military, post roads and some stuff like that. And now it's everything. It rules the whole globe.
Okay. All right. I'm glad you cleared that up for us, Mark. I was looking at it more the point of view that there is private property. There is public, communally owned property. There's other ways of organizing this. And you made me think of a discussion I had with a friend. Well, if you call texting a discussion, and if you call ignoring somebody's texting a discussion when you get not wanting to be trapped into the circular loop of texting response and counter response.
And this is a really great thing about radio, right? Like, it's not like Facebook where you can write this paragraph, this well-thought-out paragraph, and then somebody picks out the smallest detail out of it, responds to that detail in a way that is completely inappropriate, and then ignores everything else you've said. Where here on radio, you can hold the other party, whomever they might be, to account and make them answer the question. Could you answer the question?
Yeah. Oh, that was just sort of a rhetorical, would you answer?
I'm just pointing out the advantage of radio in this way. Yes.
Yes. Which is why everyone should support their local radio station, where they're hearing Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live network. And thank your lucky stars for that. But
and if you're listening to us on podcast, please rate our podcast, comment on our podcast, do all kinds of nice stuff. Thanks.
Yes. And back to what I was going to digress us into. So as you may have heard, Mark, at this stage of my life, I play a lot of pickleball.
And
not to stereotype it as just the old people's games, because it is the fastest growing sport in the United States of this America, as you will find out if you speak to any business involved in pickleball. They will tell you that repeatedly.
Yes.
But it is.
And you're young by the standards of people I've played pickleball with, I must say.
Well, yeah, but you just play over here. I'm talking about the public courts. There's a spectrum. And okay. I play quite a few tournaments now, and I'm not saying my skill level is at a high skill level, but my physical exertion is at a high level.
Okay.
I am much more mobile and quicker than I have been in a couple decades. So that's a low bar. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm playing like just a 50-year-old or 45-year-old. Anyway, I dropped that. That is important. So anyway, last week I played at the 6th annual Gainesville, Florida Invitational Indoor Pickleball Tournament. That's where the University of Florida is. Talk about seeing some younger players. There definitely were younger players there. Luckily for me, there's age divisions. And as I told someone that when I said I was in a tournament, and I went, and I was like, no, you don't understand. In pickleball, at a tournament, they can always find a group as old as you and as bad as you to compete with. And so you just have to find the right group to sign up for.
It's like jiu-jitsu. I've done jiu-jitsu tournaments, and, you know, they've got white belts over 45, and, yeah, like everybody.
Right. But it's a beautiful facility there. It's, in fact, if I were...
Do they have to salute you as a University of Florida graduate? Must you be saluted by the attending
students?
No,
I'm not a University of Florida graduate. I'm a University of South... I attended the University of Florida, but I graduated from the University of South Florida.
Oh, that's news.
It was a 17-year journey. By the way, my degree is in finance, so don't think I'm a non-realist as far as economic things go. But anyway, getting back to it, this is a beautiful facility. Only about a quarter of it was being used, and there were enough room for 16 indoor courts there. But it's a community, county-owned community facility. They have indoors and air conditioning, a full, I guess it's not a quarter mile now because I'm stuck in the English measuring system, but whatever the equivalent, near equivalent of a quarter mile running track is in meters, they have that, and they have, and then down the middle they have the, for like the 100 meter dash, stuff like that, they have volleyball nets that come down from the ceiling so they can have a multi-court volleyball tournament. Beautiful. As I said, a beautiful facility. And this was the sixth year they've done the pickleball tournament. And I sent some pictures. And I'll even go a little bit beyond this. In the Gainesville, Florida, probably from when I was there, 79 to 83, might have had a little bit of under 100,000 people, and it's now around 300,000 people. So a very high rate of growth, especially compared to most of the rest of the United States. Have the big expansion of the University of Florida there, a lot of tech businesses and other things that come there and have fostered that growth. Very similar to where, when you're in Florida and where I am all the time in Manatee County, where we grew from the same period we're talking about when you were started at the comic book store of about 100,000 people to counting to 400,000 people. That same renegade. Well, lots of people talk about planned communities. And again, the thumb on the scale of the government getting what they want in planning and things like that. But, and here we have Lakewood Ranch, which sprang up in the last 25 years as supposedly its ideal planned community. And they had, you know, the little downtown, and I don't want to digress too much on this. But in where this athletic facility was, it took up about a half a city block. It was in the middle of this commercial residential development that amazed me as someone that had lived there 40 years ago, in that it had the big box stores like the Bass Pro Shop and like Dick's Sporting Goods and a multiplex cinema. But rather than being a long strip center like most people can identify with, like, you know, you come to a big strip center and there's a Target and a Dick's Sporting Goods and a Best Buy and, you know, yeah, like a half-mile walk from one end to the other with this big parking lot beside of it. And I'm pretty sure most people in the United States that are listening to this can picture that scene.
Sure.
Instead of that, for this development, which was probably maybe a mile and a half square, picture a checkerboard, much like a bunch of city blocks. So you had like a Bass Pro Shop on one city block with a parking lot. And then next to it, you had a city block with maybe 500 apartments. And then on the other side of that would be the Best Buy. And then, you know, move to the side, and now you've got another 500 apartments where you actually, and then a multiplex, you know, there, and then some of the city blocks were actually, parking lots, you know, parking garages for the people coming to the commercial areas. And so you had all this, and you could drive to where you wanted to shop. There was parking nearby, but you could actually live in those apartments
and pretty much do all your shopping there.
And walk to the Bass Pro Shop or the movies or the food, the restaurants in the food sector there. I mean, it was really a well laid out situation that I imagine have what little I know about the government there, but more the attitude of the government, it had to be run through the planning commission and meet the specifications that they wanted in that area of the city and the county. So what do you think about that?
I think that it sounds like the zoning boards are finally beginning to return to more organic sorts of zoning. So that's just an assessment. Maybe they're never going to, but they're experimenting in this realm. In fact, without zoning boards, and for instance, the city of Houston doesn't have one. And does it have its notable eccentricities? Sure, it does. But this is how humans actually want their stuff laid out. And the fact that you're considering it unusual, it's the zebra among horses, as it were, is an indictment against zoning boards, not some kind of laudable praise for them. The fact that people have been disallowed from running little grocery stores out of their houses, little restaurants out of their houses, heretofore has really been, you know, the problem all along. As a matter of fact, I would go so far as to say that the epidemic of
people running little restaurants out of their houses, from what I was describing,
I'm just saying that people want to be able to walk from where they live to their grocery store, to a restaurant, to the corner bar. And that drunk driving, the epidemic of drunk driving in the United States is perpetuated by the fact that we don't have corner bars any longer. That you have to drive 2, 5, 15 miles in order to go to the bar and hang out with one's friends. And how do you get back? Well, you should use Uber. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my advice to you. However, many people don't. And it's my opinion that zoning laws are actually what create, in many cases, drunk driving in America.
Well, anyway, why I thought that about that situation is because when I was there, I took some pictures inside and outside of the athletic complex that was there, and I sent them to different people I know who...
Not me.
Well... You will get some. But mainly it was my immediate family. But I did send it to one person who, just to tickle him a little bit, nudge him a little bit. Maybe that's the word. And I sent him the pictures. Oh, it looks like a nice facility. And I said, yeah, socialism at its finest, with a laughing face behind it, so that he would know that I was teasing him.
Yes.
But even that, for this particular individual, he couldn't let that go.
Yes.
And he texts me back, capitalism built that, and he gave me the tax rates of the county and the contractors that built it, and all this other stuff. And as I said, I didn't take the bait to respond to all that. But here we go into socialism versus capitalism, etc. Yeah, the contractors are capitalists, but it's local government-owned property, the government of the local public elected and pays taxes for. It's a... you can't call it the county or the state, but for this purposes, we'll call it state-owned. The state-owned property that's used communally with all the people that live within that state, a.k.a. county of Black.
Here's what I don't – I need to get some clarity on. The piece of property upon which this was built was originally owned by the county, or are you talking about the super ownership that is having to pay taxes? My contention would be that all of property within a given county in the state of Florida is owned by the county, in so much as you must pay property tax on that property in order to stay on that property.
Your hair is way too fine for this text
discussion
that I was having. I would say that the county owns that. I mean, that they direct what happens on it and who is employed there, and they directed that that building be built.
So this is public housing?
Well, this would be like it would be like a park. A park is a socialist asset.
It is.
Yeah,
it is socialized. But I mean, like, so if you, it depends on the definition of socialism, right? And socialism and capitalism and these terms get bandied about without great definitions. It depends on if you mean
from 40 or 50 years ago, too. And that's why
state ownership of the means of production
or the assets. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So county owned land with county administrated apartments, I'm willing to stipulate, is, you know, socialism in some manner or another. It sounds like a very wealthy place that's able to, because whatever the county's doing, they're doing it far less efficiently than any organization that's administering an apartment complex. Now, people may be very happy there, and, you know, people who are subsidized are often very happy. It just asks the firemen. Would you rather be run by the county, or would you rather be a for-profit or a community-funded organization based on your own work? You know, they're going to figure out pretty quickly they like the county and their stuff.
Well, which is going back to my 1970s economic classes and early 80s classes, is the premise of a mixed economy was an accepted premise of a way to organize assets and resources. But
indeed,
we could probably follow this road more, but I don't know if who I'm talking about is ever going to listen to this segment or if he would even recognize that he was being talked about, but he probably would, because he'd remember the thing about
I'll say this one thing is the way I look at socialism and the way I look at capitalism. And I'm not saying that there aren't going to be restrictions on the marketplace. There certainly are. They may be private. They may be public. Whatever they are, there's going to be restrictions because people will demand them. The restrictions in the marketplace are like building. It's like a kid putting little sandy features inside of a river that he's constructed with a water hose, or trying to build a dam. The water's going to flow. And it's either going to flow through, over, or around whatever these restrictions are. Now, that's not to say that that's not more desirable, right? Like, sometimes you want the river to go that way. But, you know, that's ultimately, capitalism is the river. And socialism, or statism, or authoritarianism, or whatever term we want to use, is the whatever bulwarks are put in its place. That they will always be eroded, they will always be undermined, they will always be gotten around.
Mark, correct me if this is a false memory. I'm shifting gears just slightly. Way back at the Time Machine 2.
That's the name of the comic book store that I worked at from the time I was 12.
In your later years, no, we didn't really travel through time there. Not that we told you about. That we were having to say, this would be your mid-teenage years, I think. Probably maybe even had your driver's license by then. And I said to you that the first government was when early caveman, or whatever phrase I used, early tribal person, realized that he could bash the head in of somebody when they're asleep with his club. That's how government got organized. And you thought that was very insightful back then, in my perhaps real memory or imagined memory. I'm not sure.
Sounds right.
But you don't have a memory of that conversation.
I have been... I remember the conversation. I don't remember it being with you, but I don't remember who it might have been with.
Would it have been with?
Well, I mean, over time, I've talked to lots of people with this same insight. Government is force, right?
No, like, I'm
fundamentally
talking about the club.
You'll do what you're told, or you get your head bashed in.
Yeah, but you have to think about no, Mark. This is very specific insight. This is, you got to put your place in the tribal, tribal society where normally it would be a challenge where the stronger person would fight the stronger, another strong person for control. But the person with the brain that realized he could bash the head in when the other person was asleep then could organize the other people, like-minded people of him, to support him in the bashing in of the brain. And you have that joining of a common interest, early government.
Well, it's also
not just dominant individualism.
So the strong man who would be bashed in while sleeping, his incentive then is to reward the largest amount of people within the tribe and then just subjugate the minority.
No, it could be just to benefit enough of the nearly strong enough people to support you to take that step to bash the guy's head in the night.
This is how chimpanzee troops work. It's not the strong chimpanzee. It's the three or four next strongest chimpanzees that you need to organize.
Consensus, yes.
Yeah.
Consensus building. That's what it is.
Indeed. And there's always a consensus to take money from someone else. That's what socialism is, right? It's kind of authoritarianism.
Definitions. I'm sticking with the definition of how resources are allocated and ownership of those assets and resources. But you can jump into whatever decade of definitions you want.
I like Margaret Thatcher's that socialism works until you run out of other people's money.
You're still talking about something different than I am. Anyway, that doesn't happen anyway.
Socialism doesn't work in the countries that don't have other people's money. I know that much.
There's always more labor to create more money.
But socialism doesn't know how to distribute the pricing mechanisms and the labor in order to be successful.
I didn't say that we shouldn't have the laws of the market and be respectful of them, but we need to be respectful of the laws of the market of advertising, and we need to make sure important messages get heard on Reins and Edge on Free Talk Live Network.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.